all about. We've been reading Acts for the last couple of weeks since Easter because it's about the formation of the first church, and it's about the way that the gospel was spread throughout the world. The beginning of this reading today is filled with names that are hard to pronounce. And instead, you debunk, Ethio, and instead of just being, you know, a way to give our readers apoplexy, it is meant to show how the word of God went to all parts of the world and through all kinds of people, even early on. And then right after they give you this list of all of these people, they say they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them off. Paul and Barnabas weren't going to stay in this comfortable little place with all of their friends and disciples. Instead, they would be sent out into the world. And if you read any of Acts, it's not always to a very kind world to them. They go out into the world. They are run out of towns for preaching about God. They have threats on their life. One of my favorite stories, which I totally forgot about and I reread this week, Paul is actually, the people think they've killed Paul, and they drag him out of town, but he's just pretending he's dead. And then when he gets out of town, his disciples come back around him. He said, "I'm not really dead." And he like jumps back up, and they go about their business again, right? This is what the disciples were up to. It's not like they were being welcomed everywhere they went. The story that we have for today actually ends. They end this story, but right after this story, a bunch of crowd gets together and wants to kill them again. But in the story for today, it's not actually about that. It's something different. It's about their message being misunderstood, misconstrued. They show up, they do a healing, and people think they are gods. Call them Hermes and Zeus, and they say, no, that's not it. They are completely misunderstood. If you start reading these stories in Acts, it doesn't exactly make you want to take up the mantle and go out into the world, because you don't know what's going to happen when you do. Now, thank goodness we live in a place and time where if we go out, we're probably not going to face getting run out of town and death threats, at least in this place. In fact, I don't like to talk about the persecution of Christians here. We throw that word around, but there are parts of the world where that is really happening. This is not one of them. You don't face death threats here for being a Christian. But you may be misunderstood. You may be misconstrued. You might be mocked. You could be belittled. At the very best, people just won't understand who you are, what you stand for, or what you're talking about. That can very well happen in our world. It is not necessarily easy to go out into our world and live love, grace, kindness, inclusion, forgiveness, and yet we are called to do it anyway, even if the world pushes back. Mother Teresa, apparently in her, whatever home she lived in Calcutta, kept on her wall this poem or prayer, which I thought was really apropos to today. I'm going to read you a part of it. I've read it before. Some of you maybe have heard it. "People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spent years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway." This is what we are called to, not a world that will necessarily welcome in what Jesus had to say, necessarily welcome in the love, good, and kindness, but we are still called to do it anyway, because we believe that in doing it, we can make a change. The world can be a better, more loving place. This week, I kind of had the trifecta of people who show that. Last Saturday, so a week ago Saturday, a woman named Rachel Held Evans died. And Rachel Held Evans was an author and a theologian. She was 37 years old. She left behind two young children, and she died of a medical complication, really, fluke. But she had grown up evangelical in the South, and she had said that at some point in her young adulthood, it just didn't make sense to her anymore, these things she had grown up with. It was very exclusionary. It was very, it didn't feel loving to her. And so she actually left the church. But she was searching and searching, and she returned to the church, and she returned to the Episcopal Church. And when she returned, she became a voice of inclusion. She became a voice for the people on the margins. She especially spoke out for the LGBTQ community and people who were feeling excluded from churches. Rachel Held Evans did this to the detriment of her relationship with many from her early life. The church pushed back at her. Many of her friends and family from her early church said, "Why are you doing this? That is not what the church is." But she could not see it any other way. And even though people pushed back, she kept loving anyway. She kept including anyway. She kept speaking out for people who did not have voices anyway. In the Washington Post, in an article about her, they wrote, "She would have gotten in much less trouble if she hadn't believed so deeply that Jesus meant what he said." But she did believe that Jesus meant when he said all are welcome and all are truly welcome. And so even though the world didn't believe it, she did it anyway. So that happened Saturday morning. Then Saturday night, I went to see Father Gregory Boyle speak. And you've been hearing his name because he wrote a book that we've been reading in Bible study. He runs the largest gang, he started the largest gang intervention program in the world. He's out in Los Angeles. And he said in his speech that night, on Saturday night, he said when he started doing this, and to this day there are many people that ask him why he bothers working with all these gang members. Why is he wasting his time? He has people pushing back at him all of the time, and yet he does it anyway because he believes what Jesus said. He believes Jesus meant what he said, that all lives have value, even those on the street of LA that we can't seem to understand. Then on Tuesday, a man who I've known of his work for a while, named Jean Vanier, died. And it makes me sad not more people know who he is, so I'm going to tell you about it today. Jean Vanier started something called the L'Arche communities in the world. They still exist. They're all around the world. And they're communities where people with physical and mental disabilities live side by side with people who do not have physical and mental disabilities. And it's not like you're a paid employee, you come here and do this. They live together. And he started this. He was on, went through the Navy. He had an academic post. After World War II, he was a philosophy professor at a very nice university. But about 40 years ago, he lived in France, and he was noticing how many people with physical and mental disabilities were being institutionalized. And he just didn't think it was right. And so get this. He invited two men from an institution that was near where he lived to live with him. He just bought a house, and he invited them to live with him, and that's how this first community started. And people said to him, "Jean, what are you doing? You've got the ivory tower. You've got a good job. You've got this fabulous, fabulous career trajectory. What are you doing living with these disabled people?" But he believed that Jesus meant what he said, that all people's lives have value and worth, even those with disabilities we don't understand or that we are afraid of. And so Jean died at the age of 90 in the community he started, still living with people with disabilities. The world pushed back at him. The world said what he was doing was worthless and a waste of time, but he did it anyway. about forgiveness. I can forgive him. We can move forward. And when she did that, her sister stopped talking to her. Right? So she came in, and I said, well, do you wish you hadn't done it? And she said, oh, absolutely not. I can't control how my sister reacted. I know I needed to do this, but I just needed you to tell me I did the right thing. Right? So she needed to know that forgiveness was the right thing. Those are, like, I don't want to say small interactions, but those are the realities of our day-to-day. If we take forgiveness seriously, if we take the worth of every human being seriously, the world will push back. And we are called to do it anyway. We are brought into this place, partially maybe, so like the woman on that day, we can say, are we doing the right thing? What did Jesus say again? Did Jesus really mean what Jesus said? But we are not called to stay here in this place. We are sent from here. And it can be scary. But know that God goes with you. And God has the power to do more in you than you could ever think or imagine. I started thinking about Paul and Barnabas, those early disciples, and then I started thinking of Rachel and Greg Boyle and Jean Vanier, and I thought, how did they do this? When the world was telling them not to, when people were pushing back at them, and the only thing with each of them I can say is they believed so deeply in the love of God for them and the love of God for the world. They believed so deeply that God was with them and that every life had value and they couldn't live any differently. And in the end, it didn't matter what the world said or did to them because they knew what they were doing was of God. We are the same. We are sent out. It is not easy. Do it anyway.